Heavenly Father, it's good to gather on this Good Friday to remember the death of your Son Jesus as he paid the price for our sin so that we could be free and forgiven and enjoy life forever in your presence. Father, I pray that as we come to a time in your word that you would cast our eyes to the cross of Jesus, where he died on Calvary, and help us as we consider your words and your good message of salvation today, that you would help us to keep living for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. On the morning of the 9th of September 2022 in Australia, our phones started lighting up. The news outlets were turning to breaking news. The eyes of the world turned to the United Kingdom. Queen Elizabeth II had passed away. On that day and the days following, we saw an outpouring of grief and mourning. It was felt around the world. World figures traveled to the UK for a pompous funeral that was watched all around the world. The death had huge implications for the monarchy, with Charles taking the throne as king, whatever you think of him. The first change in British monarchy in 50 years since 1952. They had to change their national anthem to God Save the King, even changing our public holiday to the King's birthday. The death of Queen Elizabeth II was a death felt far and wide. But as we move from the death of the Queen to what we remember today on this Good Friday, the death of Jesus, historians generally agree that Jesus was a person who lived and died. Written in AD 116, Roman historian Tacitus, who didn't like Christians, by the way, he mentions Jesus' death under Pontius Pilate during the reign of Tiberius, which is widely accepted by scholars today. Current historian Tom Holland says that the death of Jesus of Nazareth on the cross is an established fact. Today's passage looks at an eyewitness account of Jesus' death. And as we read it today, as you read it today, you need to make a decision. Is this the death of a random person? Or is this the death of someone significant, a death felt far and wide? And we're going to explore this today in a few moments, highlighting three ways that Jesus' death has massive implications. And the first is that Jesus' death has global implications. You see, just like Queen Elizabeth's death was felt far and wide, pronounced all around the world, even in first century Jerusalem, remember, without internet, without phones, without computers, Jesus' death was a global reaching death. If you have a look in your Bibles in verse 16, so Pilate delivered Jesus over to the Jews to be crucified. So they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to a place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. See, this is Jesus being moved from before Pilate to being nailed on the cross. And just as an aside, being put to death on a cross by crucifixion, it was the worst of all death sentences in the Roman Empire. It was reserved for slaves, bandits, rebels, prisoners of war, those hostile against the emperor. You see, it was a painful, slow, agonizing death. John's account keeps going in verse 19. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. How do you make a message go global? Well, you translate it to all the major languages: Aramaic, the common Jewish language, Latin, the official language in Rome, and Greek, the international language of the day. And that's exactly what happens here. The Roman governor Pilate, he writes a sign to put on the cross of Jesus. And the sign was funnily supposed to be against the Jews: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Jesus, who's this upstart guy? Nazareth, where is this place? Who is this silly person from this backwater place who claims to be king? And guess what? Now this king is dead. And the Jews, they even try to change the words of it in verse 21 to distance themselves from Jesus. We don't support this king that you killed. He's not our king. He's just this guy. And unwittingly, in the providence of God, this was to be a message to everyone. Jews, Romans, Greeks, that's all the Roman world, declaring a death far and wide. Jesus of Nazareth. Not just the random who was crucified, the death of a guy who claims to be king. You see, the death of Jesus has a global reach. It goes far and wide, this pronouncement, this claim, this declaration that we still remember and celebrate today. This Jesus who died is the King of the Jews, the King the Jews were waiting for. We even see the global reach today, echoing throughout the world on this Good Friday, even to us, you might call backwater Brisbane, 2,000 years later, thousands and thousands of kilometers away from Jerusalem. You see, the death of Jesus is no random death. It has global implications. So let us consider this declaration of Jesus the King on the cross. If he is really the King in his death, what does this mean for you today? As you reflect on Jesus, as you consider Jesus, as you put your trust in Jesus, as you're reminded yet again of the death of Jesus the King. So we keep going this morning. The second thing to note is that Jesus' death has biblical implications. Because Jesus' death, you could just read it as another story in the Bible. I read books to Jacob, my son, all the time. It's got all these little stories that are all equally weighted. You know, Moses parted the Red Sea, David killed Goliath, Elijah prayed and fire came down, Paul escaped jail, Jesus taught cool stories, and Jesus also died on a cross too. Nothing more special than the other stories. But John here, in his writing, he goes to great lengths to say, no, 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 Jesus' death isn't just another story. It's the climax, it's the center point, it's the fulfillment of all scripture. Have a look at verse 23. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. You see, this is the first of three scripture fulfillments in John's account of Jesus' death. There's many other allusions and links to scripture here, but three times John says this was to fulfill scripture. He's being direct and explicit. It's not just any random death. Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament, God's word, scripture here. You see John, as he sees the soldiers grabbing Jesus' clothes, John sees Psalm 22 verse 18 happening. And in Psalm 22, David paints himself as the righteous sufferer. And John takes this verse and he says, Jesus, he's here. He's the righteous sufferer, David's son, the one we've been waiting for, the Messiah who suffers. You see, the Jews were waiting for this Savior, Messiah figure, but they were waiting for a mighty warrior king, and they didn't think that this Messiah would suffer and die. But John's saying here, Jesus, he's the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the long-awaited one. The Old Testament points to him even in his death on the cross, the righteous sufferer. The second fulfillment is in verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, he said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. You see, this comes from Psalm 69:21, another psalm about the righteous sufferer. And John, again, he sees and he shows Jesus fulfilling scripture, showing Jesus yet again to be the righteous sufferer. If you didn't get it already, Jesus is that righteous sufferer. He's that promised one. He's that Messiah figure. He's the guy that the Old Testament was pointing to. And his death is the most significant part of his ministry. Finally, verse 31 to 37. Here Jesus, he's already died, and they're preparing for the Sabbath, and they're taking off the dead bodies off the crosses so they wouldn't be up during this holy day, the Sabbath. And sometimes people would take ages to die on a cross, days. So the Romans, they'd quicken the process, they'd break their legs so they couldn't push up to breathe. But when they got to Jesus, he was clearly dead already, verse 30. So instead of breaking his legs, they pierced his side to check, bleeding out his heart and lungs, which is what happened. Blood and water coming out, Jesus really did die. And verse 36 summarizes these events. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. You see, these two observations, no broken bones and the piercing of the side, they fulfill two Old Testament passages, again, linking Jesus to the promised one from God. The first one, verse 36, points to Psalm 34:20. Jesus is God's promised righteous one. And the second one, verse 37, it points to Zechariah 12, verse 10. And in Zechariah 12, it's talking about God saving his people, answering pleas for mercy and grace, cleansing his people from sin. And it happens through looking to God who's been pierced, the Messiah who's been pierced, and what John's seeing, Jesus who's been pierced. Because as we think about Jesus' death on this Good Friday, it's not just another random death. It's not just another Bible story. It's a death that ties all of the Bible together. It's the climax of all of Scripture. You see, Jesus is God's promised one. Jesus is God's answer that the Old Testament was pointing to. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's word. And we see this especially in Jesus' death. And if this is true, then the death of Jesus is the climax. It is the high point of all of God's work in the world. and all of God's work in our lives today. And this is where our last point this morning moves to. Because if the death of Jesus is a worldwide declaration that Jesus is King, and if the death of Jesus is the climax of all Scripture and all of God's promises of old, then the death of Jesus isn't just a nice or a sad story. It has massive implications for our lives. It has salvation implications, eternal life implications, life and death implications. It has forgiveness of sins and relationship with God implications. Or in other words, the death of Jesus is a life and death matter for you and me. Verse 30 says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. One of the ironies of Good Friday is that Jesus is in full control of everything that happens. Even as we think back, if you think about the video, the betrayal of Jesus, the arrest of Jesus, the hearings before Pilate, Jesus, he's calm, he's in full control. And his control is clear here again in his last words, as Jesus willingly, in control, gives up his life. It is finished. It's accomplished. It's been carried out. Jesus' last words as he died. And while Jesus here is definitely talking about his life, I think he's talking about much more than just his life being finished. Because if you think about it, Jesus dwelled in this world, and it wasn't just a holiday for God's Son. It wasn't just to have a look at the world he ruled. Jesus came with a mission, and the mission was simple: to defeat sin, to offer forgiveness of sins, to secure eternal life. And you see, as Jesus dies, as he declares it is finished, he finishes his mission on earth. He completely deals with the sin of mankind. He fully bears the wrath of God in our place, just as we sang, Jesus paid it all. You see, Jesus' death is a death signaling mission complete. Forgiveness won, sins dealt with, hearts cleansed, life secured. You see, this is the climax of John's gospel. It's the center point of all of Scripture and all of God's work in this world. It might seem to be the lowest point of Jesus' life. Good Friday is a somber and reflective day. The death of Jesus is a gruesome and sad scene. Yet as we think about it today, it's the highest point in salvation history, as Jesus gives his life to pay for the sins and the transgressions and the iniquities of the world. So as we read Jesus say, "It is finished." This morning, think about Jesus' death, but also think mission complete. Sins dealt with forever. Forgiveness won. Life secured. You see, if Jesus didn't die, if you think about it, we'd all still be stuck in our sins, trying to hopelessly win salvation ourselves. Or we'd be still waiting for a savior. We'd be facing an eternity of hell and judgment under God's wrath for our sins. But now, as Jesus declares it is finished, It's all been done. Salvation's been won as Jesus died on the cross. It's just as Isaiah looked forward to in our first reading today. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. So on this Good Friday, as we reflect on the death of Jesus, John's eyewitness account shows that it's not the death of a random person named Jesus. But in fact, Jesus' death has massive, life-changing implications for us. So as we go on today, as we have morning tears, we enjoy this public holiday, let's be reminded first and foremost to cast our eyes to Jesus on the cross. It has global implications. It's declared far and wide that Jesus is King. It was supposed to be in jest as a laughingstock, but God used this to announce to the whole world and to all of history that Jesus is King. So today, is Jesus your King? Is he your Lord, your Master, the one who died on the cross for your sins, the one you worship and live for today? It also has biblical implications. He's presented Jesus as God's promised one. Do you see him today as God's promised one? Jesus, God's beloved Son, the Savior, the Messiah, not just another story, not just a good teacher, not just some promises fulfilled, but God's one and only Son, his promised one, God's King, God's righteous sufferer, that all of God's promises are all fulfilled in Jesus, especially in his death and resurrection. But most importantly, the death of Jesus has salvation and life implications. You see, the death of Jesus signals that God's saving work is complete. And if this is true, each of us, you need to reflect on whether you find life, whether you find salvation in God's free gift of life won in Jesus on the cross. Do you find yourself today trying to find salvation yourself in your good works, in your good morals, in your worldly success and security, in your comforts in the world? Or do you find yourself this Good Friday resting and trusting in Jesus, the cross of Jesus, the death of Jesus on this Good Friday for your life and salvation forever? As we finish our time in the Word this Good Friday, let's cast our eyes to Jesus, his death on the cross, so that we could find forgiveness and life forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we survey the wondrous cross of your Son Jesus this morning, where the King of Glory died for our sins, Father, work by your Spirit through your word in each of us, reminding us of what the death of Jesus means for us. Let the declaration of Jesus as King reverberate in our minds. Let the climax of all scripture weigh on our hearts that point to Jesus. Let us grab hold of life won in your Son and his finished work of salvation. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the cross where we find life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.